Good evening and welcome to the Upper Marion Township Board of Supervisors Business Meeting. Today is August 14th, 2025. The time is now 7:15. Please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll begin roll call beginning with my right.
Greg Phillips.
Tina Garzillo.
Carol Kenny.
Greg Wax.
Tony Hamaday, Township Manager.
Jarrett Lash, Township Planner.
Al Venatilli, Township Engineer.
Next item on the agenda is approval of the meeting minutes for June 5th, 2025, Zoning Code Workshop, June 5th, 2025, BOS Workshop, July 10th, 2025, BOS Workshop, and then finally, July 17th, 2025, the business meeting. I entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Vice Chair Genoway, seconded by Supervisor Wax. All in favor of accepting the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Next item on the agenda is chairperson's comments. I have two comments for this evening. First one I'd like to mention is that prior to this meeting, we convened into executive session to discuss legal matters and real estate matters. The second item I would like to comment on is we had a passing of a very dear resident from a long-term resident from Upper Marion. Sad to say that we have lost Joan Kellett from our community. Joan was born March 16th, 1931. She lived to be 94 years old, and she passed on July 19th, 2025. She had a remarkable career in the township, involved in so many different initiatives. She is the first woman to have been appointed to be elected as a supervisor on the Board of Supervisors. She served two terms on the Board of Supervisors and two terms on the school board. She is the only female to have done both. So a remarkable history with our township. She was involved in many initiatives across the township, very civic-minded, always a trailblazer. A lot of the initiatives that she started still remain intact today. So indebted to her and her public service to us. We did an honorary tree planting to remember her. So over at our skateboard park, it's Daniel T. Kellett Memorial Skate Park. It's behind the township building. There are two trees planted there, one for Joan Kellett and one for her deceased husband, Dr. Schulteis. If anyone is interested in attending the services, Joan's funeral mass will be held at Mother of Divine Providence Church on 333 Allendale Road. It will be on August 22nd, which is a Friday at 10 a.m. And prior to that, there'll be a eulogy at 9:50. Interment will be at the Valley Forge Memorial Gardens, which is located on South Gulf Road. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital or the Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania. So she'll be sorely missed and very much so an asset to our community. Carol, I don't know if you would like to, you were friends with her, so I don't know if you would like to add
anything. Sure, thank you. No, I was lucky to be a friend of Joan's, not a real close friend, but we did go skiing together in the Poconos when she was in her 70s and I was in my 50s. And she skied rings around me. She was fearless. I biked with her at her shore house in New Jersey. And she was just an amazing woman. She spent a year teaching English in Senegal and had another teacher teach French here in Upper Marion. And I believe the reason she went at that point was because of the death of her son, who was killed in an accident. Years later, 20 years later, she also lost a grandson, also on a motorbike. She just a wonderful person. I put her signs on my lawn. She didn't put mine on hers, but she told me she voted for me every time. And she said she considered herself a Republicrat. And she just was a wonderful, cheerful, very very strong personality. The very first time I ever met her, it was in Upper Merion High School, and I walked into a classroom where I was going to substitute for the French teacher because I taught French. I walked in and this woman was there and I said, oh, I'm in the wrong classroom. No, 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 who are you? And I told her. Well, she was there. This was a day off for whatever reason. And I was subbing for her and she told me, she just wanted to make sure I knew what I was doing. And that was the kind of person she was. She dotted her I's, she crossed her T's, and that was my first introduction to Joan. So she will be missed.
Thank you for sharing those personal anecdotes. Yeah, thank you. The next item on the agenda, item 6, is the Township Department update. And let me pull that up real quick. Okay, this month's department highlight is showcasing the library and the digital reading programs. Digital materials are a great way to squeeze in a little reading wherever you carry your phone. With your library card, you have access to 4 online resources for digital materials like ebooks, audiobooks, magazines, movies, TV shows, comics, and music. These resources are on the library's webpage, and if you need help getting started, the library staff is always happy to help you. Libby has ebooks, audiobooks, and magazines. Comics Plus focuses on graphic novels and comics, while Canopy offers documentaries, foreign films, and more. And finally, Hoopla, which has a little bit of everything, including music. While each one works a little differently, they all make it really easy to read from anywhere. You can find information about all of these resources on the library's webpage. And it's been great having these little staff highlights every month that we started doing. Next item on the agenda is the Citizen Board vacancies. We are down to 8 basic vacancies. There are 2 vacancies on the Economic and Community Development Committee. We have 1 vacancy for an alternate position for the Zoning Hearing Board. There are 3 vacancies for young adult positions for the Farmers Market, the Public Safety Board, and the Upper Merion Historical Commission. And then finally, we have 2 vacancies for the Media Communications Board and the Upper Merion Historical Commission. I don't know if anyone wants to make a comment or a plug for any of the citizen boards, but no? Okay, move along.
We'll make one. Sure. With regard to all of those young adult positions that we have available, if anyone in the audience, in the viewing audience in particular, has a child, grandchild, neighbor, friend's child who has a specific interest in any one of those topics, whether it's park and rec, public safety, whatever, those are great opportunities for the youth to learn about the service delivery in Upper Merion Township and what comprises all the different concerns and issues in our delivering of those resources. So if you know of anyone, now's the time because they'll be going back to school, maybe seniors looking for another activity that they want to participate in, or maybe they've already decided they want to go on to school and they want to learn more about even construction techniques, can learn a lot from the different programs that or different boards that we have available. So I would just make that plug for anybody who has or knows of any youth, and they could be a college student also that's looking to build their resume. So thank you, Madam Chair.
No, thank you for sharing that. The next item on the agenda is our segment for public comment. For any of the items that are currently on our agenda, if anyone from the public would like to come to the podium and make some comments or provide discussion, now's that opportunity. Is she coming forward? And these are specifically for items that are on our agenda for the evening. At the end of the meeting, I saw someone coming, so let her know when her topic could be. So at the end of our business parts of the agenda, then we have open discussion for anything that's not on the agenda. So this is specifically related to agenda items. Okay, so hearing and seeing none, we'll move on to the regular business. The next item on the agenda is 9A, announcing the winning name of the Township website chatbot contest. And I'd like to turn this over to the liaison to the media board, Supervisor Wax, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So as you may know, Upper Merion Township will debut a new website in the coming months. One of the features of the new website is a chatbot where you can ask a question and the chatbot will ideally direct you to the answer that you are seeking. The media board has actually tried out the chatbot on similar websites to the one the township will be having, and it is actually very effective. So to have a little fun, we decided to give the chatbot a name. And there was a chatbot contest in which you could find information on in various township publications, such as the e-newsletter, if you wanted to enter a name. The contest ran for 45 days. Over 120 submissions were received. The Media Communications Advisory Board narrowed down the finalists to 6 contenders, and several residents submitted the winning entry. Before I mention the winning name, I just want to thank the people who submitted the winning entrants. They are Matt Popek, Greg Heleniak, and Karen Jarina. And the name of the chatbot for Upper Merion's new website will be, and we'll do a drum roll. There we go. Fred. Yes, Fred is the name of the new chatbot. When the Media Communications Advisory Board came up with the 6 finalists, I was originally like, Fred. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized, you know what? It's simple. It has historical connotations that are related to this township. And you know what? I happen to like it. So I think the board made the right decision. And I first and foremost also want to thank the Media Communications Advisory Board for all the work they did, and also our Public Information Office for all the work they've done on this. And Fred will make his debut sometime in the coming months with a new website. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I just want to mention that Fred is because of Frederick the Great, who was the king of Prussia. And he reigned from 1740 to 1786. Of course, I just looked it up. I don't have this in my head. But that's where Fred comes from. It's not just a random guy's name. It's because of Frederick the Great, the king of Prussia. And we had a tavern, for anyone who's new to the area, we had a tavern at the intersection of 202 and South Gulf Road. It was the King of Prussia Inn. It had other names, I think, over the years, but that's the name that gave this area the name that we know it by now. So that's it. Fred.
So we're looking forward to our new website, and of course we're looking forward to Fred. I'm sure there'll be a little nice, cute little emoji that'll be attached to Fred, a little crown or something to identify Fred, and we can all have fun with that. All right, then moving along on the business agenda, we go into our consent agenda. First item on the consent agenda is the acceptance of the extension letter for Abenizio Real Estate Partnership, 316 West Church Road, until September 12, 2025. Number 2, the Township Building Master Plan, approval of a professional services agreement in the amount of $55,000 with GK Architects of Ambler, Pennsylvania, to prepare a master plan and uses study for the township building, as recommended by the Director of Public Works. Number 3, stormwater permit waiver request for 299 West Valley Forge Road, approval of waivers for permitting a minimum basin floor slope of 2%, also a waiver for detention basin berm with a top width less than 10 feet, and a waiver for minimum allowable pipe size for stormwater conveyance at 15 inches, as calculated by the township engineer and as recommended by the Director of Public Works. Number 4, financial escrow security release number 5, which is the final release to Stonebrook at Upper Merion, Phase 1, Toll Mid-Atlantic LP Company, Inc., 232 North Henderson Road, approval of escrow release number 5 in the amount of $432,391.60 for the completion of required site improvements to date as part of the land development project as recommended by the township engineer. And number 5, financial escrow release number 1 to Mansell Mill Road Company, Phase 2, River Trail at Valley Forge, approval of Phase 2 escrow release number 1 in the amount of $1,144,467.50 for the completion of required site improvements to date as part of the land development project as recommended by the township engineer. Number 6, financial escrow release number 1, Top Golf Entertainment and Restaurant Facility, approval of an escrow release in the amount of $4,501,603.25, the completion of required site improvements to date as part of the land development project as recommended by the township engineer. Number seven, resolution 2025-23, agreement with Chester Valley Deer Management Association to provide deer management services. And finally, number eight, consideration of business tax appeal settlement, approval of a business tax appeal settlement in the amount of $905.51 for the year 2022, and then also $883.41 for the year 2024. Do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda items?
So moved.
Motion made by Supervisor Phillips, seconded by Supervisor Kenny. Is there any discussion on any of the consent items? Okay, hearing seeing none, we're in position to take a vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Okay. Next item on our agenda, item number 10, preliminary final land development plan for 900 First Avenue, Arkema. Consideration of a preliminary final land development plan for Arkema, 900 First Avenue, for the construction of a 16,000 square foot addition to an existing building on the 29.85 acre campus and associated site improvements, including waivers and conditions as outlined in said resolution. It's a zoning district KPMU, and the resolution number is 2025-24. May I entertain a motion for this development plan to move forward?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Okay, I'll second.
Okay, motion made by Supervisor Wax, seconded by Supervisor Kenny. Is there any discussion on this matter? I see someone has come to the podium, if you wanted to. Please identify yourself and.
My name is Ryan Furlong. I'm an attorney at Riley Riper here on behalf of the applicant, Arkema. We were here just to answer any questions that the board might have about the project. We have been before you several times, most recently at your June 5th workshop meeting. At that time, there was still outstanding matters as to the traffic impact fee and also the fire marshal to review the plan for access and circulation feasibility. That review has been completed. We have a review letter from the fire marshal that we are agreeable with. We have reviewed the draft resolution. We're agreeable to all the conditions of approval. So we would ask for your grant of preliminary final land development approval.
Just so I understand, this is a conditional use, no? Or this is a preliminary final?
This is preliminary final, correct? Yeah, preliminary final. Anything from Supervisor Wax?
Is there a specific tenant?
This is Arkema's just continued operations in this 16,000 square foot. It's a lab space that's going on the back of building number 8, I believe it is, 12.
Okay. And when do you plan to begin construction? Okay.
So just clear, the resolution is not what we're doing tonight, the conditional land use that was handed out to the board?
I handed out a resolution, I believe, unless it was wrong.
Yeah, 2024-24, which is a resolution for conditional land development plan approval for 900 First Avenue. That's why I asked.
The one that I circulated this morning was for what should be as for today. It's not a conditional use approval. It's the preliminary final related to the land development of the existing parcel in the rear, which was the building addition. If you recall, the board granted subdivision approval previously, and it would be anticipated that the front parcel that is undeveloped, if that was going to be sold, that would likely come, which would definitely come back before you for a land development for that front parcel. This would be for just the building addition in the back. The board had concerns related to making sure as they did with the subdivision approval, that those accessways to the rear remain active at all times. That is a condition of this approval. There were only really disputes left related to the traffic impact fee, and the applicant has presented to the authority in the meantime, and a traffic impact fee agreeable to the authority based upon a calculation acceptable to the authority engineer was made. And again, that payment of that fee is now a condition of approval as well.
Okay, but I just want to, hate to be dense, but this resolution is not in front of us tonight. Is that correct?
Yes.
Because it?
Yes.
It is not?
No. The approval, okay. 2025-24, resolution for conditional land development plan approval for 901 First Avenue, okay, for a building addition and a security building.
Okay, so this is really what we're voting on, not the preliminary final. Okay, got it.
There's a difference on what the agenda says.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Versus the actual document that you handed out.
That's what Mr. Phelps and I were.
So you know, it's been a long day, John. It's just, you know, sometimes you just need to kind of hold my hand through some of these things.
It's a preliminary final plan approval for Arkema, prepared by Bowler Engineering, the November 22nd, 2024 plans, and they are requesting the waiver for preliminary and final plan development approval simultaneously.
And all the conditional approval items have been agreed upon between the township and Arkema.
Yes,
so
yes.
The access ways, that's been agreed upon. The traffic impact fee, the amount has been agreed upon. So we've come to a like-mindedness about
that. That's correct. I believe it's possible the reference to conditional land development plan approval was just that it's an approval with conditions that we have to meet, which we are agreeable to.
Yeah. Okay. Supervisor Phillips, does that satisfy your questions?
Our solicitor answered the question, which is this resolution is what's before you tonight with all the waivers that are attached to the back. It's just that it's not reflected correctly in the
verbiage.
Right. So.
Okay. Are there any other items?
I have one other comment. I know that in the development of this agreement, we had a number of queries going back and forth regarding the accessway, the circulation of the site, and the proposed sale slash ultimate construction of something else to the front of the building. I still struggle with that whole process. And the reason is simple. You can build whatever you want to build. You can bring in how many ever people you want to, but there has to be some level of significant oversight on that rotation on that site once the construction begins. Not because there's going to be an improper design, not because the roadway may not get put in, but because of the education of the employees in what's going to happen and because of the actions and behaviors of employees on how they maneuver on the site and then have to change their behaviors and drive differently once those roadways and accesses change. I'm struggling with that because I've seen it before where once another building gets built and rotation changes, people don't abide by that and problems happen. But it's your site and you know, you've gotten the approvals that are required. So I'm just going to leave it at that, but I want to run a record that I still have significant reservations that the design may actually not meet the ultimate intent, particularly with the backside of the property. That's it. Thank you.
Do you feel like we can capture some of that when we get into the subdivided parcel?
When the subdivision occurs. And
when we get the opportunity to do land development on it, that we'll get those opportunities. However, I guess one of my points is that if you're going to be bringing hundreds of employees from another site to this site, They have to be trained on how to navigate the site. They have to be trained on where to park, where to maneuver, how to get out if there's an emergency, and so on. And employees change. So whenever there's a turnover employee, if that were my company, I would make sure there would be something in the HR manual that talks about where you park, how you move on the site, how you get out in case of an emergency, particularly a site that handles chemicals, handles significant products, byproducts, and so on, and does lab work. It's even more significant to have that proper type of execution of evacuation or movement whenever it's necessary. So that's my point. If it were a straight office building, it might be something totally different. But based upon how that site's configured, there's no rear access out of the building or out of the complex, I just struggle with it.
And to add on top of that as well, we don't know who the tenant will be in the front.
In the front.
And that's going to impact it as well, that it could be a totally different type of use. I know that ARCMA is anticipating getting some kind of complementary company to take over that parcel in the beginning, but money is money, and if you can't find a tenant to serve your purpose, there'll be another tenant that will take that over that space, and they will have to have an understanding of the same things that you're saying about the safety factors. Yeah.
Okay. And there is language that states that a condition that requires that even through the development, after the development of that front parcel, that the vehicular access remain, and that it remain to an extent that it provides sufficient emergency apparatus access and maneuverability to the property, which in this condition is the property in the rear. So certainly if someone came before us stating and provided access that was not sufficient to, that would make the property in the rear unsafe, that condition would be allowed to prevent that from occurring.
Anything else from the board on this item? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we're in the position to take a vote on this. All in favor of accepting this as a preliminary and final land development plan, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay. This passes 3-2. Okay. Thank you. Moving along to accounts payable and payrolls.
Motion to pay the bills.
Motion to pay the bills. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of paying the bills, signify by saying aye. Aye. I doubt that there's anyone opposed
aye.
To that. Aye. Aye. Okay, the next item on the agenda, we go into additional business. Is there any additional business from any of my colleagues?
Yeah, just one. Just want to wish everybody, since we won't have a meeting between now and Labor Day, a happy Labor Day. And we need really owe our laborers and our union workers a debt of support and gratitude.
Thank you.
I have two things, Madam Chair. The first one is, last week we had our annual goals and objectives session. And again, we broke our goals and objectives into five major categories and added one for this coming year. Typically, we've done one regarding financial issues, another one on sustainability, one on operations and human resources, facilities. And this year, we began the process of looking at capital planning. And prior to COVID, about 6 or 7 years, we had a significant impact factor on the township, which was the recession in the late 2000 era, 2000 to 2010, which impacted our ability to fund capital projects. Then we hit COVID, which adversely affected our ability to fund capital projects. You can't delay capital projects forever. So this year, we actually looked at the concept of beginning to look at long-term capital planning, what actually needs to get done, how that can be funded, what kinds of grants are available, what kinds of other financial streams may be created, and so on. So looking out for the infrastructure of the township, looking out for the operations of the township, because capital planning includes vehicles and assets that we have to use, that became an additional item. And because, as a second-class township, we have to operate a balanced budget, we can't just go out and continue to, or even to start, to just willy-nilly spend money. We have to have a plan. If we're going to spend money, we have to have the money. So that's the reason. It's the due diligence process of making sure that we are doing the right thing for the people of the township in long-term planning to make sure that the township stays healthy, the township stays in a position where we can support the residents and we can support and continue to support the infrastructure, whether that is the business community or the roadway, sewer network, et cetera, that sustains us on a daily basis. The other thing that I wanted to mention, I got something in the mail the other day, and it piqued my interest, and it came from the United States Census Department. And when I started to look at it, it said, under penalty of law, you must respond to this. So I thought it was a hoax, so I called the Census Department. And lo and behold, I learned two things about Census Department communication process. The first one is, if you get something from the Census Department that says, please complete this survey, you should look for two things. You should look for U.S. Census Department or United States Department of the Census in the top left corner for the return address, and it must read Jeffersonville, Indiana. If those two aren't there, then it's fraudulent. But I did call and I asked them what this was all about. And they told me that this is known as the American Community Survey. It is done on a periodic basis every couple of years, and that they use the information to do a variety of things within the Census Department. There is nothing there. I did do the survey, and there is nothing there that is in any way, shape, or form giving away personal information. So I just wanted to let the people know that if you see this, it's legit, and if you feel it's not legit, call the Census Department. Don't call the number that they may print the number. Just look it up, Google it, get the Census Department number and file it. And I did one other thing. I got a complaint, a couple of complaints actually, from residents about solicitors. And in all cases, I just remind the residents, if someone is soliciting in your neighborhood or to your your property, they should have the document that says that they are permitted to do that in Upper Marion Township. It's number one. But more importantly, if you have a no solicitation plaque or poster or sticker, they should not be bothering you. And if you have a concern on any of those facts, call the police. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And Tony, do we have any additional stickers that people can put on their front door windows? I know we had passed them out before.
Yep, I'll make sure that they're available at not only the dispatcher's window, but also at our front receptionist desk. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
That was actually one of my first initiatives as supervisor. It is important to note that local organizations are exempt from the ordinance in Upper Marion Township, and religious organizations have certain rights which make them exempt from it as well. Oh, so does anything involving free speech, so political candidates too.
You're right, these were not, these were salespeople attempting to sell products or services to these individuals, and in one case did not have a permit.
The roofing industry has been very busy coming, and yes, pest control, those two have been the ones that I've been hearing about primarily. Did you have something else, or that was it? Okay.
I could mention that
I also got the community survey. I actually got one about, I want to say 10 or 20 years ago. So they do come out like halfway between census periods every few decades, and it's randomly selected. So lucky us.
All right. At this time now, I'll turn the floor over to any residents that would like to come forward and make public comment. It is for public comment and not for question and answer. So when you come forward, please identify yourself and then the floor is yours.
Hi, my name is Heather Eichelberger. I am a resident of King of Prussia. And mostly I want to make a comment about the concerts that happen out here in the park and the impact they are having on the residents in the area. And in my opinion, is a negative impact. Concert last night ended at 10 o'clock at night. On a weeknight, folks, my request would be that, I know a few years ago you probably passed a resolution for the noise ordinance to extend it to 10 o'clock. I would ask you put that back to 9 o'clock or even 8 o'clock. 10 o'clock on a weeknight, I'm sorry, I work. That is, I can be sitting in my living room with the doors closed, the windows closed, and I can hear that thing, and there's no way I can go upstairs to my bedroom to go to sleep. It's virtually impossible. So I would ask that you consider that when it first started, it was simple. It was one night a week. Nowadays, you guys have outsourced this to a production company that makes it a full-blown production that blows the decibel level through the roof. So I would ask that you address this and get it under control again, because it is impacting quality of life for the residents that live around this park.
Thank you very much for coming in to share that with us. And I can give a little bit of background of some situations that are going to be put into place for this. So this year in particular, now we've had the same production company over the, I don't know how many years they've been with us, but significant number. And this was the first year that they called these new concerts super, that's extra XL concerts, XLs. And they brought in a different soundstage. So the gazebo was too small for the venues that were coming in. So they did a larger stage, and it was faced differently. The mics were higher in the, or not the, the speakers were higher up in the air, so the sound carried more. We recognized that it was creating an issue. And this is the first year that that part of the program was launched. And our director of Parks and Rec went around last weekend, and I don't know if you saw him walking the streets, but he was talking to the residents just to try to get some feedback from them about their concerns. Some of the residents said that they enjoyed the free concerts, so we did get a little mix of that. Items that you're concerned about definitely are valid, that if you want to go to bed and you can't sleep and it's 10 o'clock at night and you have to get up in the morning, of course, it's
yes. Yeah, I mean, it was one thing if it was a weekend. Now it's been expanded to be weeknights, and it's just, for me, it is negatively impacting. I had family visiting, and it was embarrassing, to tell you the truth.
We apologize if that happened to you
I'd apologize that, you know, it's like, sorry, guys, you know, here we're sitting at 10 o'clock at night, and they're...
And you had a concert going on around
you. Go to bed. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And the other thing that's being planned for next year for the concert series is those larger venues will probably be relocated to Hoyser Park. So there's a parking issue, there's the sound issue, a lot of different things with taking these concerts to that next level that it sort of outgrew our gazebo and the Township Building Park. So we were aware of there's starting to be some complications. This year was a trial to see what would happen. We didn't even know if people would come out in the numbers that they did. And so from the business point of view, it was a success, but we needed to make some changes. So not too much we can do this year. That I don't believe there are any more XL concerts scheduled for this year.
If I remember correctly, they're all toward the end of the weekend, to the Friday or Saturdays.
And housed in the gazebo, so yes. The speakers are back down low and not facing the other direction that they have been facing. So hopefully you'll be able to get through four more for the season, and then next year we'll make some changes and not be as...
appreciate that. Right. I will be looking forward to seeing those changes. And if it moves out of here, that would be wonderful, in my opinion. Right.
Okay. I'll just say, I appreciate Ms. Reichenberger coming. I don't live that far away from here either. And I'm sitting in my living room on a Wednesday night going, what are we doing? Because you know as well as I do that the parking here is just atrocious, especially since they take it over. The building's still in use. We still have programs going on. We still have our citizens boards going on. This was probably not the wisest move on our park and rec department. So hopefully if we can send it over to Hoyser next year, that would be better.
And we were impacted for one of our meetings that turned out to not to be an advantageous meeting, that we used space over at the school district. And the meeting was conducted not as properly as it should have been, just because we relocated ourselves. So we felt your pain also in a different way, but yes.
And I would concur. I live to the other side. I live across the street. And in our neighborhood, we have people parking there, which hasn't happened in probably a decade. But we now have people parking in there. And multiple neighbors of mine commented that for the first time in years, they've heard the music late at night. And a couple of our residents get up early in the morning to go to work. So I've heard the same complaints and communicated those to staff as well. So all right. Thank you for reinforcing it.
Thank you much.
And appreciate you coming to the meeting tonight to let us know. Anyone else in the public would like to share something? Okay. Seeing and hearing none, we're in a position to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.